and welcome to Bucs Kickoff. Are the Buccaneers going to go to 4-1 at home at Ray J against the Miami Dolphins? This Bucs Kickoff, exclusively on JoeBucsFan.com, is brought to you by every single week Bill Curry Ford. That's Bill Curry Ford. Tampa, Sean Sullivan is the GOAT. He is the general manager. No better place for you to go if you're thinking about buying, leasing, getting your vehicle serviced. Plenty on Bill Curry Ford, Tampa. And let's get into this game against the Miami Dolphins. What happened in the rain? What about the Dolphins? How bad are the Dolphins? They're an NFL team. Now, I can tell you this, that covering the NFL for as long as I have, I've never shocked. On paper, this would look like it's going to be a rout. Am I right? You would think. And I'm expecting the Buccaneers to win this game. But most NFL games come down to the end. This isn't college. This isn't fantasy. As Keyshawn Johnson used to always say, I don't play fantasy football. I play for real. And so this is the NFL. There are two major things that I took away from this week being at One Buck Place. Number one, Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman had a great line. You know how right now the Buccaneers are injuries are mounting in the secondary with the corners, and two of their starting corners are not going to be playing. And Richard Sherman said, you know, a lot of fans think, oh my God, we got to start a second stringer. Oh, a third stringer. Oh, we got no chance at that position. And he said, that's bull. This is the NFL where everybody is good. Now, you might have that superstar. If he goes out, then yes, it's hard to replace the superstar. But Sherman has been here a while now. He loves Jordan Whitehead. I'm glad that one of the Joes on Joe Bucs Fan mentioned that, because that's what I was noticing listening to Richard Sherman, the perennial All-Pro. He is really impressed. And it's not just like, oh, you know, rah-rah talk. With this secondary, with the defense, and he calls him Jay White, Jordan Whitehead. He keeps on talking about Jordan Whitehead. Jordan Whitehead, he's going to be something else. He can play inside, outside, what he does it, against the run, the pass. He's athletic, and how good he is. Jay White, Jordan Whitehead. And you know what? When Richard Sherman talks, he knows what he's talking about. I listen. You know, I'm always big on players that are on the field. And when they talk about somebody, they're there. You know, they know that's more than even film. So anyway, but Richard Sherman had a good point. He's like, look, this is an opportunity. Everybody here, everybody in the NFL is good. All right. And now some of these other guys like Jordan Whitehead or Mike Edwards. Mike Edwards came through last year. Pierre Desir. He's a pro. He's been around. It isn't like they got this guy off the street. You know, Aaron's just saying the same thing, man. He reminds him of Richard Sherman. Not that he's Richard Sherman's, you know, athletic ability and quality, but the guy's a pro. So, you know, and corners, yes, corners are hard to find. Here's where Jason Light has come through once again, and getting him for like $1 million and what they were able to do. Corners are not sitting on the couch. They're hard to find. And to be able to get Richard Sherman and to come in here and be able to play all those snaps and now getting his legs under him, learning a little bit more. He was learning on the fly, man. And being able to have Richard Sherman, especially with these injuries now here and what he brings, I mean, that's huge, huge, because the injuries are going to happen. Okay, so that's number one. When Richard Sherman mentioned that, and he was like, man, I'm telling you, everybody is good. Don't look at it like, oh, woe is me. All right. That's number one. Number two, Brady emphasized this. He goes, I've been telling you guys, this is a totally different year. They're driving that home. That's why that one question about complacency, you know, human nature, it's very hard to repeat. You know, everybody's going to bring their A game. Are you going to be able to, you know, have that drive with Brady at the helm? I don't see it. They keep talking about it. And Brady goes, that's what I was telling you. He goes, look it, last year, we really were pretty fortunate when it came to injuries. You know, Now we're getting hit with some injuries. Playing this game in the rain. We didn't play a game last year in the rain. And that's another point that I want to bring up. But, so, it, like, this year is totally different. Even though you have everybody back, you got 22 starters that came back. But look at what's happened already with some injuries. So, it really is a different year. They haven't played their best. And they're 3-1. And they're learning. They're learning, man. And there was something that, you know, I was listening to audio of Brady after the game on the field, you know, and I saw a lot of different video. And Brady said to one of the New England Patriot players that came up and was giving him a hug, he goes, this is what you expect, right? This kind of weather, this condition, this is New England. You know, did you expect anything different? We didn't. And he goes, I haven't played in the rain in 19 months. 19 months, like Brady knew exactly how many months it had been since he had played in the rain. Now, there's something that I wanted to bring up on Bucks podcast, Bucks Kickoff here. Believe me, I apply. It's so different, and I'm not going to, you don't care about media and this and that. You have to apply every single day to go to practice. Every day. Every day is a new day with the protocols. In the beginning, and for most, I had been in tier three. Tier three, you're allowed to watch. When it came time for interviews or getting close to play, you have to leave. Then I was bumped up to tier two. But once they broke, when they broke training camp, this is why I'm explaining this to you. You know how down here in Florida, almost every day, it used to always be, it would, in the rainy season, it'd rain about, you know, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. You could set your watch to it, man. Well, with this weather change, now you almost had a shot of getting rain every morning, you know? And so I would get approved. And then there were times where I'm even driving to One Buck or looking at my phone that morning before I leave. Oh, times have changed. Now they're going inside. Going inside is tier two, tier three. Sorry, we can't accommodate you today. I know that for a fact because I apply every single day for practice. And so there were quite a few days when it looked like it was going to rain. There was rain in the forecast. Sometimes it didn't, but it did. They went inside. And I thought to myself at that time, now, is it because they don't want to risk their star? They have so many stars on this team and veterans. Slipping on the wet turf, maybe a pull, a muscle pull, an MCL, an ACL. If that's the case, then I understand. But I thought to myself before this massive rain in New England, shouldn't they practice like in the rain? Shouldn't they? Now, if there's a threat of lightning, now some of these, I looked it up in the morning and it wasn't like there was any lightning. Lightning later in the day, yes. Maybe there were some days where they know better than I do and, you know, who that they're meteorologists, that there's a possibility of lightning, so they take it inside. But I thought that I was like, wow, because I can remember back in the day when you had more time to watch practices. Now you get a half hour and you really get that clock is set to like 20 minutes. You get them like 10 minutes stretching on their own and then boom. I think it's like 20 minutes and then boom, you're done, you go. But when we used to be able to watch NFL practices for longer, I can remember times where Gruden would have Brad Johnson. They would actually dip a ball in a bucket and then go back and pass and use it and just really get used to wet balls. Well, I don't know if they practiced ever in the rain. I was kind of surprised by that because you're going to have conditions, even though last year they didn't play in the rain. So there was that one. So anyway, that's the thing. Brady is forcing it on everybody. It is a different year. It's not last year. So when I hear that, I do like that because that means there's not that complacency and thinking that they're all that and they're actually getting it done at the end. Now, one other thing that I got to take issue with that I just disagree with is with offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich. I think Leftwich is doing a great job. Yeah, a good job. Very good job. And you know, I see him every practice in the beginning. I even wave, and he takes a walk. He walks laps. He walks a couple of laps before practice starts. He does it every... They all have their... I'm noticing, it's almost like... I thought baseball players were real superstitious. Well, football players are just as superstitious. A lot of them, they come out at the same time. They're in their same... two or three guys that they might hang with in their group. They do the same thing. This is before the official practice starts. And so Lefkowitz does his media session. And I asked him, and I said, Byron, now, it seemed to me in the beginning of that game, and I even started it with a positive. I'm not asking him to be negative with his quarterback. I understand he's going to have his quarterback's back. But I said, you know, once again, at the end, Tom got it done, you know, drove the team down, got it done. But what it looked to me, Brady was off. In the beginning of that game, he was throwing high. I haven't seen that. Was that because of the emotions being back in New England? Was it because of the weather and the wet ball? What? And you know what he said to me, though? I kind of took a... He's like, that's a fan talking. We don't look at it like that. We look at wins. No, that's what I said. Tom got it done. No, that's all that matters. But I was just kind of curious. You're there. You're in his ear. Because the reason why is I've watched every practice that I've seen, every practice during training camp, every warm-up when I see, every when they went up against the Tennessee Titans, I didn't see him. He might have one, and he might have one pass that's off the mark. He sure as hell isn't having two or three in a row. And I just thought that, I even wrote that down on my notes when I was watching the game. I'm like, wow, Brady's off. Brady's missing. He normally isn't. It could be because of the rain. He's not used to that. He hasn't in 19 months. And the emotions. He isn't a robot. Even though he's played in big games, that was emotional. So I'll get more into that as we roll on here on Bucks Kickoff. And I got plenty more. I thought Peter King, who did go to the game, if you didn't read his Monday morning column, it was tremendous. And I want to hit on that a little bit. But you know what? Byron, I'm not talking like a fan. Like you as a coach, you didn't notice that. That's all. And then when Tom came out, I tried to loosen him up a little bit. He came over after he did his sprints. Do you know that Brady does sprints with the other quarterbacks and kind of like just challenges them after every practice that I've seen? I haven't seen that from other veteran quarterbacks to end it with sprints, but that's Brady. Brady is different. So anyway, Brady comes out, boom, 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 sits down, and nobody else started. I said, hey, Tom, I know that you said, and he also said this on his Monday podcast with the thing that he does with Jim Gray. He said that he was sore. He was sore, understandably so, after that New England game. So I said, I know that you said you were a little bit sore. How you feeling? Now you're a couple days after being back out here. And he goes, oh, he started out, you know, smiling. He goes, oh, I feel good. And then he just changed mode. He was like, but, you know, this is a big game. We got to win this game. We got to do better. Folks on Miami, blah, blah, blah. So I realized. And then somebody later asks something about last Sunday night. And he's like, that's in the past, which I don't blame him. He is full focused. He is full steam ahead. And then as it went on, just you realize the amount of preparation and film work that he does on an opponent. He was like, I'm just trying to get, they mentioned his you know, the NFL career, the passing yardage mark there that he beat Drew Brees. And he was like, you know, he said the same line that he's always said, you know, I hope anybody that caught a pass under me, I hope they had a little smile on their face. But boom, 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 we're focused on Miami. And then he started breaking down what Miami does. What are their formations? Who's doing what? Who's doing what? I'm like, this guy, with all his success, is doing as much preparation as he has ever done. Now, of course, he's always saying how great the, you know, very good team, very good team. He's like the old Lou Holtz used to say, every opponent, you know, that they would play, it was great. That's Brady. But just his laser focus on just this game is incredible. All right, let me mention to you, Bucks kickoff, always 24 hours, man. I'm here for you. I'm over there at the facility. I'm talking to different people and experts and things and trying to find out as much as I can. Bucks kickoff here on Joe Bucks Fan is presented by Bill Curry Ford. All right, they are Tampa Bay's first family of Ford, located 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Beautiful showroom, plenty of cars. The Curry family is like they've been doing for the past 61 years. They do it right. They treat you right. And that's what you want when you're looking for a vehicle. GM Sean Sullivan is the man. He is always ready to field any questions you may have. And he'll talk football too. But he's a very busy man. But he will talk to you about if you're looking to buy, you're looking to lease, or you're just looking to get your vehicle fixed. Go to BillCurryFord.com. There's several ways easy to get a hold of Sean Sullivan. You can email him, you can call him, or you can just stop in the showroom and ask, I'm here from Joe Bucks Fan. Rock Riley sent me, and I want to talk with Sean Sullivan. And two great things. Don't forget about the Joe Bucks Fan discount. They love Bucks fans at Bill Curry Ford. And this is what I love. They are the home of the lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. All righty. What are some of the things that I want to see in this game back home at Raymond James Stadium? The Dolphins, if you look at the rankings, they really are at the bottom in almost every category in the NFL. I want to see that home crowd be able to cheer and early in the game. Don't have the slow start in this one. You don't want a chance leaving it. All right. So get the crowd in it early. Yes, in the end, I don't see any way that the Fins can hold on. You should be able to wear down this Miami team. Play like you are Super Bowl champs. All right. The Dolphins really, honestly, have no business even staying with the Buccaneers in this game. But like I said, it's the NFL. I've been doing this a long time. And it really is true. This ain't college. This ain't Alabama going up against the there's no cupcake. All right. No excuses with the injuries or the starting corners out with Carlton Davis and Sean Murphy Bunting. Antonio Winfield, again, he's with the concussion. You've got Richard Sherman. All right. Pierre Desir, he's got an opportunity. Like Arian said, the guy's a pro. He's been around. Mike Edwards, you've been a damn good ball hawk. You guys are going to get your chances. Richard Sherman now, he's familiar with the system. His legs aren't jello anymore. Richard Sherman, this isn't a great pickup. Did you see the video where they had Antonio Brown mic'd up? And Antonio Brown goes over to Sherman. And he's like, hey, man, you know, you legend. You're a legend, Richard Sherman. Hey, you know that? You know that? I don't want to see you over here and sulking and down. Come on, I want to see you smile. You're a legend, Richard Sherman. And I thought that was great because Richard Sherman was just trying to catch his breath. Like he said, he didn't expect playing that long. His legs were just jello. He was gutting it out. But Antonio Brown is over there trying to pump him up. I thought that was great. But Richard Sherman, a fantastic pickup. All right, the Buccaneers D, the front seven with Jason Pierre-Paul back. This, just your strength, assert your will, front seven. I mean, the Dolphins are bottom of the NFL in yards per attempt carrying the rock, so they're not running it. I think they're 27th, all right? Jacoby Brissett, the quarterback, as Tua is out, he does not throw it deep. I think he's got the arm. It's just the co-offensive coordinators. That's another thing. I was going to get to that later, but it's almost like, you know, when they say, oh, you got two quarterbacks, that means you don't have any. When you got two co-offensive quarterbacks, and then there's a third in the mix. He was supposed to be just taking care of Tua. It's really three minds. It's too much. You got to have one guy that calls the plays, that calls the shots. I just don't think that the Miami Dolphins have an offensive identity right now. All right. So and Miami is last in the NFL in yards per pass attempt. So when they do throw, they do not go down the field. All right. The Buccaneers defense now, you should be able to pressure and continue now with that confidence of getting some sacks. The Dolphins have given up 13 sacks and they had 4 last Sunday. Brady in the offense, what I want to see in this game, be better in the red zone. You've known all week that you weren't going to have Gronk. This wasn't like, you know, they know the deal with the broken ribs and the cracked ribs and the punctured lung and everything. You're not going to have. You want Gronk back. Crunch time, end of season, playoffs. If you can get to the Super Bowl again, you need Gronk. So you're not going to rush him back. They knew. Last week when I was at the Advent Health Center, the Glazier Shed, as the Joes call it, Gronk came out and I had that footage far away of him high-stepping and loosening up. And I thought, and we all did, that were there like, oh, Gronk is coming out here. Maybe he can go. And then it was like he couldn't go. Gronk was not out at all this week. So my point is, you know all week you're not having him in the red zone, but you've got Mike Evans. You've got Antonio Brown, Godwin, Cameron Brate, Gio Bernard is back. Isn't that why you picked him up from Cincinnati? Right? Isn't it red zone? Isn't it third down? All right. So there's plenty of weapons. I expect them to be quite a bit better this week in the red zone. All right. Let's look a little bit further on here. All right. Now, the situation with the injuries, Sherman, good to go. Pierre Desir, good to go. Russ Cockrell, good to go. Cockrell, by the way, has played a hell of a lot better than he did in that first game. A lot better. D. Delaney and Rashard Robinson. And Arians was talking. Rashard Robinson's getting his shot now. He knows this system. So you've got 3 healthy safeties. Jordan Whitehead, who Sherman keeps on bragging about. Mike Edwards, who is a ball hawk. And Jamal Adams. And one more thing to just think about, and I'm not getting ahead of this game because Bucks kickoff really is always focusing on the task at hand, this game right here. But coming up, Chicago Bears, Justin Fields has been named the starter. So the kid is wet behind the ears. Yeah, he's good. He's probably going to be good. That's in 2 weeks, and that game's going to be here at Ray J. Something to just kind of look ahead now. It's falling into place against a rookie. All right, it's time for my Rock Lister. This one is Dan Helly. I hooked up with Dan. Dan Helly, if you've been a fan of NFL Network, he's been with NFL Network for years. This year, he's with DirecTV, and they do their fantasy red zone. It's like the NFL red zone is the DirecTV. He's done games on Fox. He also knows Bruce Arians. He did the Tennessee Titans during the preseason. But again, Dan Helly, he's formerly from NFL Network, been there for years. And basically, I was talking to him, and he's like, look, breaking it down, studying this team, they've got the talent. They're the team to beat. It's just the injury thing. So I kind of cut all of that. We don't need to go through that. He knows that. Then we get into Brady. And then I want to ask him about Arians. He knows Arians. So here he is now, Dan Helly.
And if you think about what they achieved last year with all the new pieces that they had, and now to have a full year under their belt with Brady in this offense, with Gronk getting more comfortable, with Brady getting another receivers, with his receivers healthier than they were last year, to me it's just health. It's as simple as that.
Now, Tom Brady, are you surprised that he is still playing at this level, or maybe you're not surprised?
Of course I'm surprised. This is uncharted territory. This is something that nobody's ever done before, to play at this age. I mean, you're talking like mid-40s now. You know, I'm 46 years old. Tom's 2 years younger than me, to do what he's been doing in a new team. And I, it's It's a modern day miracle. There's nothing that Brady, who is, you know, there's no argument anymore who's the greatest quarterback who's ever played the game. It's Tom Brady, right? It's not Joe Montana. It's it. It's Brady. So yes, I'm stunned. It's unbelievable, but he makes the unbelievable believable, and it's a true pleasure to watch. You know, when he was with the Patriots and they came to Nashville and did these joint practices with the Titans a couple of years ago, it was so fun to see people like my broadcast partner for the Titans preseason games, Charles Davis, pull out his camera and zoom in on Brady making a couple of nothing practice throws to wide receivers that we had never heard of at the time. But that's what Tom Brady does. He makes all of us want to pull out our cameras and take pictures because we may never see anybody like him again.
Here's my last one. Nobody really brings up the coaching staff, starting with Arians on down. Yes, they've got the talent, but you know as well, sometimes when you got a lot of talent, maybe if guys aren't getting the ball like an AB, and they didn't have any problems last year. How much credit do you think that the Buccaneer coaching staff should get, Dan?
That's a great point. Not enough. You know, Jason Light and those guys made this all happen in terms of bringing the pieces here. But Arians was the chef in the kitchen, right, that put the ingredients together and baked the cake. And to kind of go out on a limb, to really go out on a limb and bring AB in here when he's been with AB before, and if he had had his druthers, he would not have done that. But he listened to his quarterback, and that's a key word here, listen to your quarterback. What franchise up north in Wisconsin doesn't listen to their quarterback, but they are now? They've had major problems. He trusted his quarterback. He brought him in. Todd Bowles. I mean, is there a better DC in football than Todd Bowles? Hopefully he gets another crack at head coaching. It's awesome. It's awesome to watch from afar. I'm a huge fan of Arians. I'm a huge fan of Bowles. I've called their games before. I've been in production meetings with them. I did an event. I think the show was called All or Nothing on Amazon. The Cardinals did the first season, and I did it when Bruce was in Arizona and got a chance to hang out with him for a couple hours. Awesome. If there's not a guy that you would want to play for more than Bruce Arians, I don't know who would be.
Thank you so much, man. I know you're a busy man. Best of luck in everything you're doing. You're a great man. Dan Helly, thank you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Dan Helly. He's a good guy. He used to be, years ago, he was in Orlando, and he's just a good guy. But again, he's been around. He did that All or Nothing show with Bruce Arians. And that's the other thing. Like, getting a Richard Sherman now, this is it. You know, it's all out right now. It's not like Jason Light and Greenberg and the Capologist, not like they're, you know, not forgetting about, you know, the future, but it is now. And all of the coaches stayed. That's another big thing. I've been doing this now and interviewing everybody, and everybody says the same thing. It's just going to come down to, can they stay healthy? And they got a little bit of adversity with the corners and the DBs. But as Sherman said, it's time, man. It's time to step up. All right. A couple of other things. Now, what have I seen at One Buck this week? Very interesting. This is a home game. Okay. But on Thursday, I'm in the media trailer. Now, what happens is we can only stay for a brief, it's usually special teams, the quarterbacks, they do their drills, all the positions in groups, they're doing their drills. We're not watching 7-on-7, 11-on-11 like we were able to do during training camp. So then you have to leave. You go outside the big black gates that they have, and then there's a media trailer. You could stay in the parking lot or be in your car, but it's been so hot, usually go in the media trailer. So I'm hearing noise, and I'm like, what the heck? What the heck? Isn't this a home game? And I went to the window, and I'm looking over, and I'm like, they're pumping in crowd noise, and yet it's a home game. And it's interesting because Brady told us, he actually told me when I asked him 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago about something. I can't remember exactly what it was. And he's like, you know what? And it all started. He goes, when we played Green. Oh, yeah, because I was asking him when they were going to L.A. It's going to be the first time they probably had to go with the silent count, you know, in the communication. And it's been a while, right? And he goes, well, you know, funny you asked that, because when we played at Green Bay and in front of only 9,000 fans last year, that was one of the loudest and biggest 9,000 crowds I've ever seen. It did seem like there were more than 9,000 fans that were allowed in Green Bay for that NFC Championship, did it not? And he said, we used the silent count and we practiced it during practice because BA had a hunch that that 9,000 was bogus and it was going to be loud and a lot more fans, and it was, and it's a good thing we practiced it. So BA must think that this game at Raymond James Stadium is going to be loud. Does he expect a lot of Miami Dolphins fans here? I don't know. But they were practicing with pumped up crowd noise at least on Thursday's practice. I know that. They might have done it more. Here's another thing that I've noticed. And I think it's two things. It's playing with a GOAT, and you might not get this chance again. There's so, how many players in the NFL would love to be on a team where Brady is running the show, giving them the chance to win all the time? Come on. Come on, right? And they're winning. They're winning. They, you know, and they're 3-1, and they're coming off the Super Bowl championship, and winning cures everything. Because I really observe when I'm out there watching, and they got good chemistry even before practice starts and this and that. And then it was funny. Like, I like to talk when you're going over for your COVID test, which you have to do once a week. And you got to make sure you get that done. Then you get your little chip, which will, you know, you put it in your pocket. You got to be, can't get near players or coaches. You know, the protocols are real tight. Oh, I did find out something else too, how it's different around the league. But anyway, and so we were walking over. And there was a member, there's always somebody from the Buccaneers staff, and they've got to do a lot more work this year than in last year was crazy too. A lot more work. But anyway, so we're walking over there, and one of the, a reporter, local, and we were just talking, and somehow it came to Brady, he goes, you know, I wonder if Brady even drives himself. And the Buccaneers staff member looked over and he goes, you talking about Tom? Tom drives a truck. Really? He's got a truck. Yeah. He doesn't come in like it's big time. And from what I understand behind the scenes, they bust his balls about being old, and he takes it. And he's like, once they come off the field, he's just a good egg. And that, like, Fournette, and they all get along. And even Antonio Brown, like, look at Antonio Brown before he got here. Richard Sherman is loving this. And it's so, it's just something that I'm observing and I'm hearing. And it's, I think a lot of it does have to do with winning. All right. What else do I, have I seen and what I want to see? Oh, Jason Pierre-Paul. Now, we didn't know if he was going to play. There's a lot. This has happened over the course of the last couple of years. He does not practice. Once the season gets started, man, he's always banged up. But that guy is a freak. He is a baller. He is a difference maker. He also tells, he doesn't lift weights. He does not lift weights. I don't know how he gets away with that, because they usually require you to lift. But you know what? When you can talk the when you walk the walk, and you come through on Sundays, then okay, you're going to be able to just get away with not lifting. He came out, and from a distance, he had this, it's like a big wrap, like a club, half cast or heavily wrapped. And we asked Arians about that, and he's like, he's done that before. He puts that on there, you know, blah, 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 blah. So the point is, Jason Pierre-Paul being back is a huge, huge difference maker for the Buccaneers in this game. All right, I want to focus a little bit more on, I am going to get back to Brady and what I was also seeing and hearing. Oh, all right, here's a little bit more. I'm not concerned with the Buccaneer offense. You know, Arians was asked about the numbers. You know, they're number one against the run, the Buccaneers defense, which means that they're getting passed on a lot. Also, if you look at numbers, you know, the first two games on offense, the Buccaneers were averaging over 30 points a game. Now, 24 points in the Rams loss in L.A., only 19 points in the rain in Foxborough. So it's been coming down a little bit. It all comes out in the wash. What Arian says is they want to score touchdowns. They want to put points on the board. That's their number one thing. And on defense, they don't want to give up more than 17 points a game. That's kind of like their benchmark. That's what they go on. Not so much yards, because when you're getting thrown at so much, teams are not running the ball. I mean, it's not even close. The Buccaneers are first in that category against the run. And even in yards per attempt, carrying, oh my God, second closest isn't even close. So teams are not trying to run. And that's another thing that Sherman said. I thought that was very interesting when he got here. And I also, he's got a podcast. If you get a chance, it's really good. He's really good on his podcast. And he was saying that they take pride here in stopping the run, this defense. You know, and it starts up front with all, you know, the front seven and the linebackers, even sometimes, you know, the D ends or outside linebackers, you know, with the contain. It's not just Vita and Sue and Golston, you know, it's a defensive team thing and they take pride in that. But again, sometimes the numbers can be skewed a little bit. Here's the thing, though. Arians has admitted they are shooting themselves in the foot with the penalties and missed assignments. Now, that's something I don't understand, because here I am telling you about all the coaches that are back, right? Everybody's back. They know the system. What's up with the penalties? The Buccaneers are 31st, dead last in the NFL in penalties with 34. 13 of those 34 are pre-snap penalties. That's something that should not continue. Arians is fed up, and he even admitted this week, he said, it's now on the players. We've told them about it. We've done all we can do. It's on the players. So that has got to change. Also, the Buccaneers are 7th worst in the NFL with 9 drops. That's another thing that I don't understand. Because it isn't like Brady throws a hard ball to catch. His spirals, his balls, his throwing the football. Other than that game up in New England, is always on target. They're catchable balls. I don't understand the drops, so get it out of your system. All right, this Buccaneer podcast, Bucks kickoff 24 hours before every stinking game here on JoeBucksFan.com, presented to you by Bill Curry Ford. That's who I talk about here all season long. Love them. They take care of you. Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. They have been in business, the Curry family, for 61 years. This ain't no fly by night. Sean Sullivan is the Tom Brady of GMs of dealerships, and he's always ready to field any questions you may have. He doesn't just kick back in his nice office. He comes out, he greets you, he will answer, even if it's you're thinking about, I don't know, maybe 6 months from now. What should you do? Here's what I got to spend. Talk to me. He will answer any question you may have if you're looking to buy, looking to lease, or even just to get your vehicle serviced. Easiest way, go to their website, which is BillCurryFord.com. And there's several ways to get a hold of Sean. Email him, call him, or stop in their beautiful showroom and say, Rock Riley told me, Sean, I need to speak to Sean Sullivan. Rock Riley from Joe Bucks Fan. And Sean will come out. Two things, tremendous. Joe Bucks Fan discount when you go to Bill Curry Ford, because they're huge Buccaneer fans. So make sure you tell them you're a Buccaneer fan, Joe Bucks Fan discount, and you will get the discount. And Bill Curry Ford is the home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Again, it is BillCurryFord.com. All right, let me get a little bit more into the opponent. What the hell is the Miami Dolphins? What are they bringing? What are they bringing? Now, I know you look at it on paper like, oh, my God, they are one of the worst teams in the NFL. Yeah, that's true. Did they win their first game? Yeah, how do they do that? They got it done. You cannot take any opponent lightly. They were beaten by the Colts 27-17. That game was at home in Miami. Now, the Dolphins were without wide receiver Will Fuller. He is on IR, so they don't have him. Next week, the Dolphins go to London with the Jags, and oh my God, the Urban Meyer distraction. I don't know if I'm going to, I'm dying to get into that, but this is Bucks kickoff. Carson Wentz on two sprained ankles, threw two touchdowns. Jonathan Taylor was able to rush for 103 yards against the Finns. What did Jacoby Brissett do? You ask? 20 for 30, 199, but 123 yards were in the fourth quarter. The offense on the ground did nothing. They rushed for 35 yards. They were outgained in the second and the third quarters, 226 to 15 yards. They went offsides on offense. Brissett lost a fumble. And what I don't understand about Miami, like, this was supposed to be the team on the rise. They won 10 games last year. Coach Flores was one of these up-and-coming coaches. They were going to build on this. PFF, Pro Football Focus, how much you want to believe in them. They study numbers. The Dolphins have a bad offensive line. Austin Jackson, Liam, they rank 60, I think it's something like 67 and 68 out of 73 NFL starting tackles. So both tackles are not grading out good at all. It should not be a problem. It really should not be. The Buccaneers should not have a problem in this game. Now, Brian Flores was with the Pats, all right, 15 years. He mentioned early this week, they were asking, what about, can you know Brady? Can you confuse Brady? And he said, I do give him credit for this. He said, there's no confusing Tom Brady. He has seen everything, all right? Miami has a decent receiving core. Devontae Parker. The thing about Devontae Parker, watch out for him. He's good at going up and getting the ball. Hasn't done much. I don't know. I wouldn't put it on him. It's more on that co-offensive coordinator crap. But anyway, Devontae Parker, he's decent. Rookie Jalen Waddle, he's good. And Mike Gesicki, their tight end. I just don't think they've been using Gesicki the right way. Godsey, Eric, and there's also Charlie Fry. So there's really three guys that are having input with the calling of the plays and the system. The Finns were 10-6 last year. And defensively, let's get to the Dolphins' defense. They were good. What happened? Now, I'm listening to Bruce Arians, and I think a lot of the times he's a straight shooter, but also he does do the coach speak. He said this week that he thinks the Dolphins secondary is a lot better than the Patriots. The Finns run a lot of man coverage. They've got two good corners. They really do. Xavien Howard and Brian Jones. They're very, very good, all right? But the offensive line has been bad. The offense does not have an identity. Now, they were RPO when they had Tua. So now you got the backup Brissett. Brissett is not the RPO. The Dolphins, when I saw this stat, and I'm not trying to hit you with too many stats, but I got to bring you some juice. The Dolphins are averaging just 4 yards per play in the NFL. They are, and that is the worst in all of the NFL. The Dolphins are averaging 5.3 yards per pass attempt. That is worst in the NFL. the Buccaneers are favored by 10.5. At least that's how the line started out. Now, the Dolphins' offense, they're scoring close to around 14 points a game, 13.8. No running game, bad O-line, Brissett's not going down the field. The Dolphins are allowing over 27 points per game. The Miami Dolphins defense is allowing 5.5 yards per play. That's around 13th in the NFL. They're allowing a 54% conversion rate. On third down, they've not been good. They are second worst in the NFL. Last year, they were the best in the league. It was at a 31% conversion rate. Now it's 54% conversion rate. So the Buccaneers should be able to run it. The Dolphins' defense is allowing over 130 yards per game on the ground, okay? And the one stat, like I said, it's a little bit skewed. Look, you've seen the games like I am. The Buccaneer defense, and especially the pass defense, has not been good. But they're not the worst in the league. Numbers-wise, they are. They are allowing 327 yards per game. But what Arian said, we're into the scoring is where we're at. Don't give them 17 points. 17 points or less, that's what we look at. And when other teams are throwing this much against the Buccaneers, yeah, they're going to be ramping it up. All right. Just a couple of other things. You know, what I've been noticing, like I said, couple of things. All right. What about special teams? Pinion was off. I don't know what the deal was on that. It looked to me when I was watching special teams this week, especially on Friday's practice inside the Glazier Shed, it was Jaden Mickens and it was Jalen Darden. So expect either one of those guys to be your returner. Cameron Brait was doing, he does a lot of stuff by himself on the side. He's always like high snapping or something like that. He was juggling like this little ball that he had, and he was doing a lot of juggling. I don't know what I've never seen that before. Here's another thing that I've noticed too. And it seems to be with the defensive backs, the DBs, when they have a little bit of downtime, they do pushups. It used to be in all the years that I have covered the NFL, the only time that I would see, seriously, the only time I would see players doing pushups was when they screwed up or you have to run and, you know, drop down and give me 20. Or they just knew if they missed a pass or assignment, they would drop down. But I'm noticing a lot of these guys, just when they have like a few minutes, they're doing pushups. Just something that I've observed, you know. The defensive backs group were always kind of close to where, not the defensive backs, the defensive linemen and the starting unit, and they're pretty tight. They really do seem to get along pretty, pretty good. So overall, I am expecting the Buccaneers to win this game. I'm not expecting a blowout. They could. And it's time. And if there's ever a time for a blowout, this would be the week. They've got a short week after this. They got that Thursday night game. And Arians was asked about that. And they know what they're doing. They have the biggest staff. The Glazers have allowed them and hired. They have the biggest staff in the NFL. They've got a sports science staff. That's why... they had the late night on Sunday and they got back so late. And I love, did you see Godwin's quote where he said, it was wet as shit? It was wet as shit. They were soaked. That was an emotional night. They got back so late. So when they came in on Wednesday, they basically, I think it was, I'm trying, these days are all running together, but a normal day when they would practice, they kind of had like a walkthrough And then Arians was even, because they have a staff that studies this stuff, sports science. They got every bit of this thing covered. So that's my point. Yeah, they got some injuries in the defensive secondary, no doubt. But you know what? They got Richard Sherman. What a hell of a pickup. Where are you going to find a corner that's sitting at home and is ready to come in and play all but one snap after 3 days of practice? Richard Sherman. What an addition. And he also is bringing the energy, the juice, the experience to this room. And Sherman said, everybody is good. This just gives some other guys an opportunity. This isn't like these are schlubs. So, and this is the Dolphins coming in. Let's see. Let's do it. It's a home game. And I can't wait. So I'll be all over it at Raymond James Stadium, wherever you're watching this thing. Enjoy your Sunday. And another thing, just soak it all in. Soak it all in. Because I have acquaintances, former coworkers, even a friend or two that lives up in New England. And they're like, wow, now we understand. Like, we were hated. We won so many championships. And you can sometimes take it for granted. Don't take this for granted. With Brady here, with the talent that they have here, let's just enjoy this season. Let's enjoy this Sunday. Let's enjoy next Thursday. I'm not even going to get ahead of myself. I love football season, and I love doing this Bucks kickoff podcast 24 hours before every single game. Once again, I plan on being over at the facility all week. Well, all week, short week. I think there's only 2 days of media availability, I believe. Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I'll be there to give you the latest in what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for supporting the number one website for information and entertainment and information. So you're never bored on JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Rock Riley. I'll talk to you next week on Bucks Kickoff.